Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, Darren talks about Battlefield 4 and his CTE experiences, and I talk about the S10 Extreme modding project. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today I have Darren McCain. It's the fall season here at the Hardware Asylum Labs. We got flies in the garage where we're trying to record, and there is a ton of games coming out right before the Christmas season.
Of course, it's that time of year. Gotta get that Black Friday sale stuff ready to go or something.
Something. I believe you got a special invite to a certain game that you've been playing a lot of.
Yeah, I'm sure you've noticed I haven't been online much, at least visibly. And there's a good reason for that. I actually have been online, but covertly, I was invited to join the Battlefield 4 CTE, which is the Consumer Test Environment.
Is that something that you have to sign up for?
Yeah. In fact, it was kind of interesting. I was really excited, thinking it was, you know, one of those alpha beta invites initially. Mm-hmm. But then I discovered that anybody can sign up, and I'm guessing that most folks that sign up get included because they were doing a lot of testing on the new maps for the new expansion for Battlefield 4 that's due out, oh gosh, any day now.
Great. Well, they did that same thing with Battlefield 3, which is, we were invited to the alpha because, well, I got invited because I bought Medal of Honor, which is a crappy game, by the way. And I believe you got it, I don't know, because you're or something.
Well, at the time I was pretty competitive, so we got invites because we were ladder ranked, I think. That's been a long time ago.
Yeah, and then the beta came out right after that, which nothing really changed. I think they were just doing load tests, you know, EA, right? Well, with Battlefield 4, though, it's been out for a while.
So it is.
What's the...
So the CTE has some really interesting stuff going on. In particular, they are beta testing, maybe, the new expansion, which is called Final Stand, which is due out by Thanksgiving. I'm trying to remember the official date, and I'm not sure they've announced it.
Well, we'll definitely put it in the show notes, that's for sure.
If we can find it, exactly. But what it is the final, maybe, expansion for Battlefield 4. And it is, if you have the season pass, the last paid piece that's been announced. And it is, four maps that are new. Giants of Corellia, Hammerhead, Hangar 21, and Operation Whiteout. And you might get from the names a little bit of a hint of what kind of content it is.
Well, the hangar kind of sounds a lot like one of those Counter-Strike maps.
Well, yeah, but it's all done in, well, Russian Siberia type of snow.
Oh, okay.
And you're going to get 5 new achievements or trophies, 10 new assignments if you're into those. And there is a really nasty new weapon called the Rosarch X1, which is a sniper rifle style railgun. And in the CTE, or maybe beta, if I call it that, it's a slip.
Yeah.
But in the beta, the Rosarch X1 is a one-shot kill railgun with no drop-off. So you put the crosshair over them and you pull the trigger and it hits them and they die.
Insta-gib, basically.
So you find this thing on the battlefield and I was never able to get to it before it was gone. So I didn't get a chance to play with it.
Was it a random spawn or was it always spawned in the same spot, kind of like in the old Quick 4 days?
That's a good question. Since I never got to it, I think it was one of those where you find the unique weapon in one of the buildings and the first person that picks it up gets it, and when they die, it respawns or whatever, like some of the weapons on the new maps now. Mm-hmm. Some respawn, some don't. But anyway, there are also 2 gadgets that are new that are kind of worth mentioning. The DS3 and the XD1 Asciptor, whatever it is. Anyway, I also hate it badly, not because it's not cool, but because it is so evil. Now, of course, remember that these things are still being tested for balance. Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that we have to mention about Battlefield CTE is it's not just for testing this new content. They also use it to test things like new net code, new balance patches, that kind of stuff. So the gameplay that happens in the CTE is very different from what happens in regular Battlefield 4.
Yeah, one thing I was going to ask was, you know, every expansion, they tend to tweak it slightly, either tweak the balance, tweak the gameplay, or just give you a new map that you're going to go run around and shoot people on.
Oh, yeah. So they were putting patches out for hitboxes when I was playing, mm-hmm. I think in an effort to tighten up the way the sniper rifle plays because of that stupid X1.
Yeah.
But it's also important to note, and this is why you didn't see me online when I really was, that you actually have to sign in to the Battlefield CTE like it's a brand new instance of Battlefield 4, the whole browser front and the whole nine yards.
Oh, wow.
So you're building a brand new CTE character completely separate from your regular Battlefield 4 platform.
Oh, so it's really a true beta at this point.
Yeah, and I don't know how persistent it is because, of course, I had just gotten in. But unlike regular Battlefield 4 servers, you didn't have people that were all the way up to the level caps, 100 plus, 115 mm-hmm. level that have everything unlocked. But the downside of that is coming in cold on maps that you don't know at level one, man, I'd forgotten how much that sucks.
Yeah, that's, I want to say in a previous podcast, I was talking about how, I think it was when we were talking about Titanfall.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get finally into the beta and then you join a server and you have people that are level 15, I think the level cap was.
Oh, yeah.
And basically whoever had the level 15 on their side won the match.
And it was kind of like that in this too. So they did, during the part of time I was playing, they were doing a map a day and they were trying to test map glitches. So they wanted you really to try to, you know, jump through rocks and fall into crevices and get stuck. And that was the kind of thing they were looking for. In addition to, like I say, balancing the hitboxes and the weapons. Mm-hmm. So the maps themselves were pretty solid, I'd say very close to release. I played a little bit of Hammerhead and a little tiny bit of Operation Whiteout. I missed Giants completely. I just, like always, they didn't have enough servers to drop the software, so it took me over a day to get the software downloaded.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. And so Hangar 21 just happened to come on a Saturday when I had a lot of time to play, mm-hmm. so I got the majority of my play. And you were talking about this. The maps, all of them sort of tease Titan mode like we had in 2142, which is the battlefield where you had the giant ships that flew in the sky that you had to attack. They were basically giant flying space battleships.
not like the Avengers helicarrier or whatever, right?
Yeah, so that was kind of interesting. I loved 2142. It was really the last battlefield that I really enjoyed playing just because it was fun and different than the rest of the franchise. Now, you could always go play Battlefield 2 or Desert Strike or Desert Combat or any of those realistic project mods or whatever, but that was the last one where I was like, well, this is basically Battlefield, but it's so different that it gave you a unique game style. So right. I'm hoping that means that the next Battlefield will be maybe a future game again, and we'll get a chance to play some of those modes, attacking the Titans and flying with the jetpacks and stuff.
Yeah, well, that would definitely go along with their trend. You know, you had like two games that were set in the past, and then you had a future game, and then you had two games that were set in the past, and then a future game. You know, I believe it was Battlefield Vietnam, and then I skipped. No, wait, no, I played Battlefield 2. I'm trying to remember now because it's not actually one of my favorite games to play.
Yeah, it just seems like there's so many. And it's funny that you mentioned Vietnam because out of the series, that one was my least favorite. I actually even preferred the one that most people bomb on, the secret weapons of the Luftwaffe patch, to playing Vietnam. I really wanted to like Vietnam, but I just hated it.
Well, it was kind of our generation, right?
Well, then that could be it too. The theme was tough to swallow.
Yeah, well, and that was the game that got me interested in Battlefield because it was something I was familiar with.
Right.
But I was hoping that it would be like a jungle sort of warfare sort of thing. And instead, it really became jungle setting, but still in the massive, you know, storm the beach. You got like a helicarrier in the background and not a helicarrier, but aircraft carrier. And then you could fly your jets and your helicopters and drop bombs and stuff like that. But the balance was such that you didn't get an advantage for flying a plane. your advantage was actually being a trooper on the ground, being able to hide from tanks and stuff.
Well, it may have been a little bit hamstrung by the engine, because the new Frostbite engine is so much stronger that a lot of the older maps that have been reinvented for Battlefield 4 are so much better with the destructible combat and the buildings breaking. And, I mean, just everything.
Mm-hmm. But, now, the fun Battlefield was, I think, the one right after that, which was 2. That was the one we played a lot in, and that was the Modern Warfare sort of.
Yeah, form. I absolutely loved 2. In fact, that was the last game that I played competitively and nationally ranked in. So it has a special place in my heart just from that little standpoint. Definitely loved it.
Yeah. So, you know, knowing those games, how does the new CTE sort of gameplay does it call back to any of those sorts of things, or is it really just kind of an add-on to the current Battlefield 4?
Well, it is an add-on. And if you think of the last couple, we had a kind of a close combat with the really small maps, and then we had the water-based maps with all the islands was the last round. And I say those are probably my least favorite maps. Mm-hmm. And then these are, well, let's take Hangar 21, for example, but these are mostly big snow maps where you're playing in different valleys, and it's all black and white, which makes it really difficult to see, so it's more strategic. But the maps are bigger also. Now, Hangar 21 is the one I spent the most time in, and as I mentioned, it really is a gigantic hangar, and you can find what looks like maybe a schematic of a Titan on the wall, which leads me to believe that it's intended to be a Titan hangar, or at least hint at one. So the hangar itself is gigantic, multi-layer, and the inside of the hangar itself is probably as big as any of the indoor island maps are in the last batch. Hmm. So multi-layered, lots and lots of elevators and staircases to fight on over these two flags. But outside of that, there's a gigantic valley that tapers down with multiple spawn points also. So if you visualize in your head, you can fight up towards the hangar, or you can spawn to the side of it and come back down the hill, but you're all kind of in this pocket. So you're, it's open in hills. Really could see it devolving into a sniper map very easy, but it does have snowmobiles and stuff like that to get around very quickly. Hmm. Your helicopters are there, etc. So
yeah, so a lot of the elements of the regular Battlefield 4 are there. They just kind of reskinned them, so to speak, you know, because a hangar, if it's as big as an island map, for instance, all you have to do is change the sky texture and give it walls.
Yeah, it was interesting. I did like the snow. I kind of think it's neat that you could get yourself in some white snow camo and kind of prowl around out there in a small pack and really do some neat guerrilla stuff if you're not getting sniped by that crazy Aerosarch.
Oh, right.
So my overall opinion is, a really new flavor in the outdoor winter arena. I'm looking forward to it. The balance passes are going to be interesting. Yeah. And yeah, you kind of nailed it. It's got little pieces, parts that are familiar. But overall, I'm glad that I'm going to be getting it.
Oh, cool. Well, that's a good sell. I'm sure that a lot of the, you know, season pass people are probably, they're looking forward to the expansions, and the people like me that never actually bought the game for various reasons are probably not going to know much about it. So I think it's a good good insight.
Well, one thing to remember is you can get Battlefield 4 right now if you're patient for $19 or less.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
And then another $25 gets you an amazing amount of content. This and COD are probably the two that have the most vivid online communities, very active servers. And Battlefield 4 right now seems to be the one that is most populated. So I definitely encourage you, if you're a Battlefield player, to go out and get on the CTE site, sign up. You can always play on the CTE servers, even when they don't have the CTE or beta content out there. So you can go out and play the regular maps at any time and level up. I know that now. And you'll be involved in the announcements when the custom content and the new patches are available. And if you're like me, it's a good chance to get a good look at these maps and learn them before you have to face the guys that are really talented.
Well, and I think the same goes for Titanfall. You can get Titanfall for $12 or something like that now. But, you know, if you're going to join a map, you're going to be joining with level 40s and 50s. And
yeah, feed the sharks, believe me. But it's an interesting new model that EA is using, and I think that it's going to be successful. That and their subscription service mm-hmm. are going to be a great way to try to win folks over and get us over the hump of that horrible Origin front end and playing really some of the great games out there. Hey, it's fun to hate on EA, but you got to admit that they make some stellar games, and Battlefield 4, I really think, is the best first-person shooter out there right now. So come look me up and come take my dog tags. Dennis, I noticed lately you have been spending a lot of time on one of your other projects, mm-hmm. not your motorcycle, because we've talked about that, but I don't know that a lot of folks, if they haven't been with us for a long time, know that you've been working on a truck project.
Yes, I have to admit, I'm a bit of a mini trucker. I have been ever since high school, and I've owned one since then, and, you know, customized it along the way. It's just like building a custom computer, really.
So tell us a little bit about your truck for the folks that are out there.
Okay, it is a 2001 S10 Extreme, and if you don't know what the Extreme Monger means, it's basically the sport truck edition of the S10. You know, it comes with a performance package in terms of visuals. You know, you get ground effects. Comes with a lower stance by an inch and a half, tighter steering, and sport suspension and sway bars and stuff like that.
So you didn't say what it looks like. Now, with a game handle like Red Max, I'd guess it would be Fire Engine Red, right?
No. It's actually black. I've always liked black cars. You like white cars. I like black cars.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I've always bought white cars.
Yeah. So the truck is black. I also had the windows tinted as dark as I could possibly go in my region, which is, 10% behind the driver, and then I could do 20% on the driver's roll-up. So basically, when you're sitting in there and the sun is down, you can't see anything. You know, back in high school, I had limo tint, so it was like 5% all the way around.
Darkest legal. I've been there.
Yeah. So the building of a custom truck like this is a lot like building a computer.
How so?
Well, you have, let's go step back. So like a gaming PC, for instance.
Right.
You can start with like an AMD processor or whatever. It always starts with a processor. And in this case, it would be like a vehicle. You start with a vehicle. And then you add on top of that, you can add your video card, your storage system, RAID, no RAID, power supply to actually drive the whole thing. One video card, two video card, three video card, four video card.
If you're crazy or rich.
Yeah, and then you can also decide what case to put that in. Darren and I have also done like case mods. So we buy, you know, at the time, cases didn't really cool very well. So we modify them, add windows and lights, add bigger holes for fans, put fans in strategic locations to get better cooling. Just the basic modifications.
Oh, it's interesting you'd say that, because a lot of that stuff is no longer necessary. And I know that you can get a truck that's pretty maxed out these days, but you chose to go with, it's an older one, right?
Well, it's 2001, so that's what, 13 years old, I guess?
Well, yeah, but what led you to choose that particular rig?
The S10 Extremes, or all of the S10s, you have first generation, second generation, third generation. This is one of the third generations, or the third body style. And it's the last one right before they changed over to the Colorado, which I don't really like the style of that truck.
Okay.
And it was also the most popular customized truck in all of mini trucking world, so to speak. You know, if there's a custom truck, it's usually an S10. There's a plethora of parts that you can buy. You know, you can get a drop kit for this just out of a catalog. Just kind of go thumb. Oh, 2-inch drop kit from, you know, one of three vendors now. You get blocks for the back to actually lower the back. There's suspension upgrades. I could actually lop off the back half of the truck at the frame and then bolt on an air ride system.
Oh, wow.
With a full 5-link airbags, air tank, and it just bolts up. And that's not something that you can do with like a Toyota, for instance. It's something that you'll have to build up if you do one of those trucks.
Okay, so what you're looking for is similar to a PC case, mm-hmm. one that gave you a lot of customization options and still look good.
Yeah, and that's one of this particular S10 was one of the most aerodynamic ones. The first gens were kind of very boxy, and that was like the Cyclone and the Typhoons of yesteryear.
Right.
those ones.
Legendary.
Yeah, those are legendary trucks. We had twin turbos, all-wheel drive. They could actually beat a Corvette down the quarter mile. Very, very fast trucks.
And very, very hard to come by.
Yeah, they didn't make very many of those. And the people that have them, much like my Agusta that I bought, if they have them, they hold on to them. There's a guy at HP when I was working there. He still drove his every day.
Yeah, and that's kind of when I was in school, that was the sought-after rig, but they were so expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, with the S10 Extreme, it's kind of the same deal with one of those. The Extreme is more of a performance package in terms of handling and looks. So you get the lower stance and then the ground effects. Well, if I bought a regular off-the-shelf S10, I could put those ground effects on it, but right. Then you don't have the clout of saying, hey, it's a numbers-matching Extreme. So you kind of have to start with a good base, just like in a computer.
I know you've done already some pretty good work to this, so let's talk about that a little bit. What have you already done?
Let's see. I have done the customary mods where you do a drop. So RA right. has an inch and a half from the factory. I added 2-inch spindles to the front and 3-inch blocks in the back. That basically gives you a level look. And it's high enough off the ground that you can drive around, not have to worry about speed bumps, which is something that I didn't really care about too much in the old days. You know, I had a couple of trucks that were, 2 inches off the ground and was driving those around. Well, getting in and out of parking lots was a little tough sometimes. So, and let's see, I did a brake upgrade on it, which, are you familiar with the Corvette, right?
Well, of course. Who isn't?
Yeah, well, there is a certain edition called the Z06.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Very nice. Well, the brakes on that truck, or on the car in this case, 6-piston calipers in the front, 4-piston calipers in the back. I think it's 14-inch disc rotors in the front, 13 in the back. Well, it turns out that with a couple of little brackets, you can install those brakes on an S10.
Wow.
So I went and spent the bucks and put Z06 brakes on my truck. They have the Corvette emblems in the side and everything. It's actually something that nobody really has ever seen around here.
Yeah, it's very cool. And they are bright red through your rims.
Mm-hmm.
So they stand out against that black truck, very bright.
Yeah. The problem with putting those brakes on a truck like this is that they are very, very large, as you mentioned. Not many wheels off the shelf actually fit them. I was lucky enough that when I bought the truck from a dealer down in California, they had went and put 20-inch rims on, and they did the customary ones where they kind of are bowed out a bit, so the wheel is more toward the...
canted out?
Yeah, they're offset, so they have the positive offset on them. Make them look like front-wheel drive wheels, basically. They had enough backspace in there that I could get my brakes to fit. Well, I didn't particularly like those wheels, so I went and... no joke, I looked for 2 years for a wheel that I liked that would also allow me to put those brakes on the truck.
Dennis, they sure look nice. I know you're going to post pictures when you post the podcast, but what are the wheels?
They're actually Bond Speed Atoms. So this is a 5-spoke design, very, very open, so I can show off those brakes that I spent a lot of money on. And they're made to order. So when I order them, I got them on a sale, which was probably not the smartest idea. But you tell them what your offset needs to be, what your backspacing needs to be, the bolt pattern. You can actually have them custom colored, which they do powder coating on them. So I can actually have the hoops actually done in a matte finish, and then the inside colored black or red or whatever color I wanted. I ended up going with a polished aluminum look with a clear coat applied to it to help keep them clean.
And these are really large wheels also. You didn't mention, but are they 20-inch wheels also?
No, they're 19s. I wanted to go with 19 primarily because 20s, they had a large rolling diameter, and they were with a 4-cylinder engine like what I have in my truck. It's hard to get going, and you waste a lot of fuel that way. So I went with 19s to bring down the rolling diameter, also big enough to clear the brakes, and would give me the stance that I was after. Unfortunately, with 19-inch wheels, it's really hard to find tires.
Oh, no, because they are low-profile tires, right?
Right. So in the front, I went with 19x8, and in the back, I went with 19x10.
Well, there's no arguing the results look great, but how does it affect the ride?
It rides really good. The tires that I got, they're a high performance tire, you know, the same kind that you can get on an actual Corvette. The wide 10-inch tire in the back, it tends to throw you around on a grooved road, you know, where if you have a skinny tire, you can drive, you don't notice it, but on a big tire, you get up as you're trying to get out of that groove, you'll actually throw your car around.
No.
Which is kind of something that you don't notice unless you are in a car that does it.
Now, you talked already that this is a four-cylinder, and I'm aware that truck was also available in a six. Mm-hmm. So what are you planning with that engine?
Well, the four-cylinder, I wanted to do some upgrades on it, obviously. The four-cylinder that's in it is also available in a Cavalier. And since a Cavalier is part of the tuner community, that means that I can start getting some custom parts for it.
Oh, so compatibility also a plus on the four-cylinder.
Mm-hmm. So you can get different injectors. There's a plethora of different pistons available, cylinder heads, camshafts. I went the route where I'm going to just have a custom motor built, which I ordered that like 5 months ago, and I'm still waiting for it, which is really quite sad.
Such a long process.
Yeah, but that motor is going to be a stroker motor. So they've offset ground the crankshaft. I got a stage 2 cam that's being put in there, higher compression pistons, ported and polished cylinder head with larger valves, and a 65mm throttle body, which it's more or less designed for turbo operation, but it should also increase throttle response. So I took the tuner approach coming to the engine.
Yeah. Very interesting. So plans to put a supercharger or a turbo kit on the engine?
No, not so much. I weighed the options of doing, you know, like NOS, for instance, just for the fact that, hey, I could have a NOS. Or I could do a turbo. The guy that's building my motor actually designed a turbo kit for an S10 for the four-cylinder. That basically removed all the front controls off the motor. You put an electric fan on the radiator, and the turbo sits right in front of the motor. I didn't necessarily like that location so much, especially with the intercooler being right behind the front valance on the Extreme, so there won't get any air through there. So the fact that I would be removing all that stuff and then the maintenance of all the piping and added cost, I mean, his kit was like $5,000, which was crazy. So I decided, well, I'm just going to stick with naturally aspirated, add a little bit of oomph to it, make it kind of fun to drive around, and still hopefully keep with a bit of gas mileage.
That's a shame you can't just stick a little LN2 on that puppy and get it moving faster, huh?
Oh, yeah. It would be nice to actually put a NOS backer on it. The motor's going to be all forged, so it will hold that power. But, you know, if you're running high compression pistons, you don't do NOS. It's just not what you do. It'll destroy it pretty quick.
Well, the good news is you can always consider that as a bolt-on later if you change your mind without having to start over with the engine, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. It's being built, and that's it brings up an interesting point in that, you know, built versus bought. In the computer world, you could go to a place like CyberPower PC.
Right.
And you could buy a high-end gaming rig, you know, fork over the cash, and basically never look back. Or you can build one based off of, like, a CyberPower PC build, or a build that maybe Darren and I would actually provide to somebody. And you could get a pretty high-performance rig out of that as well. It might cost you about the same, might cost you a little bit less, but you have the pretty much the pleasure of building it yourself and knowing that everything that you put into it and why you did that.
Well, for a while, that was very prevalent. You either bought a Dell or an HP unit, or you built. And the advent of all these boutique builders has really made that decision a little more difficult. Mm-hmm. And I look at what you've done to your truck, and it looks great. And I know you're not finished, but I do wonder, could you have just bought a Corvette?
Oh, I definitely could have bought a Corvette. I could have bought, what was on list on my list? The Ford Lightning was on my list. Uh-huh. One of the new SVT Mustang Cobras was on my list. But I kind of like, you know, I'm a mini trucker, so I kind of like the mini trucking world, and, you know, the fact that you have a truck that you customize to drive like a car. You know, I can't haul anything in it. You know, if somebody asked me to help move a washer, it's like, huh, nope, find somebody else. But I can, you know, put some stuff in the back, like computer crap, if I want to go to a LAN party or whatever. But I just kind of, I don't know. I like that world. That's what I was after.
Well, I think the same question goes towards PCs too. Would you buy an off-the-shelf PC?
Well, the enthusiast in me would say no. I have. I mean, I talk about the Asus Slate all the time that we record our podcast with. I love this thing. I wish that it had higher resolution, which is one thing that's kind of keeping me from buying like a Surface, for instance. I could buy a Surface Pro 3, get better resolution, more power, but it doesn't have the same sort of connectivity that my Slate does. And I really like that. You know, we got to have two USB ports to run the podcast.
That's true.
So, but if it came to a gaming PC, yeah, I'm going to build that myself. That's not because I can't go to CyberPower and buy one, or actually get a deal on buying one, but the fact that I like going out and actually buying the parts. And sometimes, you know, CyberPower doesn't stock everything. They stock everything that they can get deals on and actually get a good price on, because they're buying in bulk. So they're only going to have like maybe a thermal take water cooler. Well, maybe I want to go with the Corsair one, or maybe I want to build one myself and actually do a custom loop. So that's something that CyberPower could do, that Falcon PC could do, that all those people could build a custom water loop, but you're going to be paying for it and you may not actually get exactly what you want.
Well, the same for your truck. Mm-hmm. You decided what you wanted. You came at it and it'll be done someday, right?
Oh yeah. I'm hoping it'll be done soon. I mean, there's the engine's the last major thing that's going into it. After that, I mean, I might put a PosiTrack sort of rear end into it, but you know, driving on the street, it's not, if I was drag racing, yes, street, not so much. I have a stereo system to put in it still, which is kind of a surprise because normally stereo is the first thing you do into a car.
That's true.
Yeah. And I also have some custom door panels that are going to go on there. Well, new, better looking door panels, I should say. And an alarm system. And then after that, it's basically done. Just kind of polish it up and keep it clean.
Well, I know we're all looking forward to seeing the progress, and let's get some pictures up for folks to see.
Yeah, I'll definitely port some over. I'll be putting some in the show notes, and I might actually do a cross link on the Hardware Asylum Facebook page over to my personal one.
Absolutely. And folks, if you haven't already followed us on Facebook, a great opportunity to chime in on not just high-end PC products, but also on some of our other interests as well. We look forward to hearing from you.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS, now available on iTunes. Join us on Facebook or follow us on Google. This has been an Angel Lane production, copyright 2014. Thanks for listening.